The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Pleasure this morning to have Dr. Martin Sanders share with us. Martin's been a good friend of Churches of Christ over the last number of years. He works in primarily NIAC in New York, at a college there, Bible College, and he oversees the doctoral program. He does a lot across the world in terms of training of leaders and really has a passion to see leaders grow and develop, and therefore to grow and develop their churches and ministries. So love you to give Martin Sanders a big hand this morning.
Seems appropriate on a morning that we do baptism for me just to simply say, I want to take you to the river. So picture it in your head. We're headed to the water. We're going to take you to the river, and I'm going to ask you to stay in the river by the end of our next 27 minutes together. Time me if you'd like. There's this great power of water. You know this. Rivers, lakes, streams, they all have different phrases. I love this time of year coming to Perth for a lot of reasons, especially last weekend there was a blizzard in New York City. Had almost a meter of snow and I was here. I am so grateful. I'm fascinated by surfing because there's the power of the water. The problem is I don't have a body type for surfing. But it didn't stop me. I got out there and tried it. I did it enough I could figure out a great appreciation for it and figure out what I could do and that I was not destined to do this the rest of my life. But did figure out there's this great value of just the power of water and what it is and can do, especially if you'll get out where the deeper water is and lean into the waves. It's just a whole different experience happens. Now here in South Perth at this church, you are both intellectually and theologically sophisticated people. So this isn't new information. I'll just remind you of something. There are six symbols of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Dove, oil, fire, wind, water, wine. Now notice something about each of those. They're fluid. They're moving. They're not something that is static nor stayed. This morning we're going to pick up on the one of water and focus on the river. Listen to John chapter 7 for just a moment. It said, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. If you know this, but there's not very many times when the Gospels actually record that Jesus speaks in a loud voice. So he's basically saying, folks, pay attention to this one. Here's one of these elements of truth. Please don't miss it. In a loud voice, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within them. Now, think about how long it's been since you thought about this passage, the imagery of it. In most other places, I don't know here, but in most other places I would say it's probably been quite a while since you've heard a message on this. And we tend to not speak on this one very much. But here's the imagery. Jesus is saying, before the very throne of God, there is this river. There is this river that flows from the throne of God, from the very heart of the Father. And it flows straight from there, straight towards you. It's the flow of the Spirit of God. The job is to fill you up so that there is this overflow. Streams of water will flow from within you. We teach this song to children. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. What does it say? Makes the lame to walk, the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets kept free. It's the picture of the kingdom. It is what God the Father has in mind for His people, His church, for you. It's the river. If you're going to be someone who lives in the river, let's do some very simple principles of what that looks like and how to actually make that happen. Here's how it starts. You've got to cultivate the very presence of God. So in other words, you've got to get in the river. You don't stand and observe. You don't cognitively think about it. You don't do church. You get in the river. You get in the flow of God's Spirit. it's pretty simple in that way. You see, God is always present. The issue is we're often not aware of it. I love to get to churches early when I speak. I've gotten to do this in way too many places with literally a couple thousand churches I've spoken. I love to get there early and listen to how people greet each other. You can tell a lot about a church by how people greet one another. It's fascinating. Sometimes, especially in the American scene with churches much like this one in a sort of a suburb like this, you'll get there and the conversations go, "How are you? Fine? You? Fine." So many fine people go to church. It's just amazing. Other places, there's lots of warm hugs and welcomes. I don't know if they lie to each other, but they say great things. It's sort of fun to listen to and watch. There's other places where it's very meaningful. It'll be something like, "May tell me what happened on Wednesday. I was thinking of you, started praying for you." It's as if God said, "Cover this." See, those are very different conversations than "How you going?" There's a part of the Spirit of God at work within us. The conversations are significant, even dramatically different. This "God is always present" thing is big. We just finished hearing a story of how there's some unsafe places in the Philippines. I happen to be right on the north side of New York City. Of course, one of the places that has had a history of terrorist activity and other things. It's interesting being in New York City. I love how safe we feel, but I've got friends who work in the city behind the scenes who say, "Martin, no one has any idea how much we take care of, how much doesn't happen so that everybody can feel safe." And I just look out over you all and go, you have no idea. Seriously, you have no idea what the Spirit of God does in you, with you, for you, week in and week out. The things He spares you from, pathways He opens up, the ways He protects you. You see, if you're unaware of how God's at work in your life, you miss those. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise and heighten your awareness. What is the Spirit of God up to in my life that I just sort of don't even ever see? So pay attention. Pay attention to those simple things that may dull your senses. Busyness being one of them. Sometimes in places like this part of Perth, we almost wear busyness like a badge of honor. What was your week like? You're so crazy busy. As if we're more meaningful if we're busier. And I just go, no, you plan poorly. Oh, come on, it's your fault. You're busy. Just say no. But it's one of those things that distracts us from what the Spirit of God is up to. Leftover unhealthy patterns, even sins, spirits of control, they're there. So what we have to do is become aware of those. And then on the other side, to feed the spiritual hunger. Just a matter of a short time ago, I have fires at my house. I have a fire pit multiple times a week. I, in the evening, build a fire. Sometimes text people, sometimes they text me and they just show up. Sometimes it's as few as a half a dozen. A couple of weeks ago, I had 37 people sitting around a fire. I didn't invite most of them. They just came. Here was one of my odder ones. It was back in October. I got a phone call at 11:45 a.m. I was a leader in a significant ministry about 500 miles from where I was. He said, "Martin, are you having a fire tonight?" I said, "I am now." And he said, "Good." He goes, "I got up and walked out of a meeting. I didn't tell anybody. I just got up and walked out." He said, "I just phoned my assistant and said, see if there's a flight to New York leaving in the next hour. I want to be on it." Now, here's what I found interesting. I got another one at 12:30. "Martin, you're having a fire tonight." I said, "I am now." And he said, "If I leave now, I can be there by 7:30. He was driving 7 hours to get there. Now, I don't know if you know the geography of America enough. But I had phone calls that afternoon from 7 states seeing if I was going to have a fire. People wanted to come and just sit around, have talks about the soul, listen to each other. Finally, at 2:30 in the morning, I said to the group, you have to go home. I have to be at the office early. You have to go. I had people come in from 5 separate states that night, just lonely people wanting issues of the soul. Fire was dying down. I went over to the fire and I said, "Everybody watch." Just watch. Took one leftover log and I flipped it over. Blew on it three times. And that thing came up to flames. I said, that's exactly a picture of the Holy Spirit in your life. This feels dormant. Some embers there. Flip it over. Blow on it. As Paul said to Timothy, you'll fan this thing into flames. That's your life. It's your life. How do you cultivate His presence? Well, you feed this spiritual hunger. Don't just get so busy and frazzled in life. The phrase that people use is, life gets in the way. Avoid your doing time with God. Think about how you reference times of devotion, times of Bible reading, times of prayer. Literally, very recently, someone said to me, Martin, I do time with God. And I said, please change that phrase. Do time is what they call prison. You do time in jail. Hopefully that's not how you see your time with God. And then, of course, you get in and you live in the river. You can't stand on the banks and watch what's going on and analyze it. I had a phone call this fall. It's a consulting thing that I didn't actually want. But it was a group that knew me, and they said, God's up to something at our church. We kind of need help. And so I was on, got a call one evening, and it was I was clearly on speakerphone. And it was the elders. Happened to all be men. And they were saying, there's something going on at our church. And the way they described it, it didn't seem good. And I said, well, is it good or bad? And they go, we can't tell. So what's going on? And they said, people are doing weird things. I said, well, you live among weird people. It's kind of expected. What kind of weird things are going on? Well, there's stuff sort of spiritual things. As they described it, the Holy Spirit was up to something. And the issue was people were responding well, but it was mostly younger and lots of women. It wasn't the elders. And I listened to him for a little while and I said, okay, mates, we've got an issue here because God's up to something in your church, but He didn't start with you. So here's what you can't do. You can't sit back and fold your arms and watch and observe as if you have the final say of wisdom and authority, because you've got to get in the river. You've got to be in there and see what the Spirit's up to. You've got to feel it, sense it, hear it, go after it with all your heart. You've got to be there with them. And when the river currents get bigger, a couple of you may go under. You may or may not come up. That's okay. Your eternity's set. But you've got to get in the river. You can't be the counsel of the old men who know and stand on the banks and direct people in the river. You've got to be in there. Yourselves. You don't just get in the river. You got to wade out where it's deeper. Sort of like if you're a surfer. You can't just sit out there on a surfboard and go, I'm a surfer, but never go catch a wave. You've got to get out there. You got to get out where the deeper water is. You got to get out where the big waves are. You got to get out and be courageous enough to lean, to stand up on the board and lean into the wave. That's how it works. It's the same as true in the life of faith. You've got to get out where the water's a bit deeper. And pay attention to the flow, to the currents, to see what God's up to in your life. But the biggest one is you got to remove the barriers. Some of you know of a book that's made its way here, and some of you have actually read a book by my friend Rob Reamer called River Dwellers. This talk was actually one of the first parts of that book. Rob and I have been partners now and mates in ministry for, he was one of my students. 25 years ago, and I told him I would invest in him and stay connected forever, and it's paid big dividends. It's now one of those things that it's sort of like God loves me and Rob has a wonderful plan for my life. Rob keeps saying, Martin, you and I are going to partner together for the rest of our lives. And I said, Rob, let's get one thing straight. I'm 11 years older than you. When we go out to eat, you eat salmon and steamed vegetables. I have burger and fries. Let's just be honest, we're going to partner together for the rest of my life, not our lives. Let's just be really clear about this. But we do talks together, and we did a talk, this one of these very talks of living in the river. My wife was battling a dreadful illness. She passed 16 months ago. And I just said to Rob, this talk is too good. You take it and you run with it. It's yours. But it all started from the story I'm going to tell you right now. When I was 10 years old, I lived beside a river. Now, depending on where you're from, it's a river, a stream, a creek, a crick. There's all sorts of words for these. When I tell a story like this, I can never say when I was a small boy, because I was never small. When I was born, I weighed 5 kilos, and my mother said, that's enough, no more children. But I was an imaginative kid. And so this stream would flow just near my house. And I figured out pretty quickly that you could take and find a big rock and roll it over, and there'd be a rock here, and on the other side another rock, and then another rock and another one. And you could take a wide flow of water in a river, and you could bring it down to just a trickle. If you were highly imaginative, you could go find a log and throw it over it and dam it up completely. Cut all water supply off downstream. As I began to speak as a minister, I thought, this is the picture of this passage, John chapter 7. From God's perspective, from His very heart comes this stream, this river straight into your life. It's the flow of the Spirit of God. And all you have to do is leave one leftover sin here. And a bad excuse over here. And some resentment here, and a critical, bitter spirit here. You know this. You've brought the flow of God's Spirit in your life just down to a trickle. Your job is to take care of each of those. To keep that pathway clear. So there is an absolute flow from the very heart of the Father straight to you. Your job is to keep it clear. And as you keep it clear, that's where His Spirit begins to flow. So you got to be in the deep water. What does it mean? Confessions are current. You come from a tradition where you do communion every week. Some, of course, it's once a month. Others, it's once a quarter. One of the things I always ask people to do is track their confessions. If you find yourself confessing the same thing over and over and over, you're not actually repenting. You're just confessing. And no life change happens. See, it's not enough to admit something's off. You have to go after it. Both Testaments use this great phrase. You go after it with all your heart. One of the things we do as we live out faith together is we hold up mirrors to each other. Actually, I've done this so many times when I'm speaking in a larger church. I actually put a big mirror down there and have somebody hold it up with me at the end of a service. We just say, come and take a look. Why can't you see the good stuff the Father sees in you? Why do you discredit it and put it down? On the other side, why can't you see that thing that just needs to go? The people who closest to you, the people who love you go, what, are you blind? You not see this? It goes both ways. Started a ministry about 20 years ago called Global Leadership. We've now done leadership development in, I guess, some nearly 70 countries around the world. Put together a team, global associates, and we live out faith and do ministry together in various places around the planet. And one of the things we do when we're together is we just hold up the mirror to each other and go, why aren't you seeing how well God's working in your life? Why do you keep missing this? And on the other side, once in a while, and we've had to do it within the last little over a year, we've had to hold a mirror up to each other and go, why is this thing still around? Why have you moved ahead so well except this one area? So I've been through a tough last few years. So this last fall I met with them and said, I think I'll be ready by Christmas. I need you to hold up the mirror to me. Help me see what I'm missing, both good and not so good. We had a meeting just before Christmas, and they said, we don't think you're ready, Martin. I said, yeah, I kind of feel that way. Still got a little bit of recovery to do. And I said, but by Easter, it's kind of necessary. So as soon as I get back, we're going to have a meeting together, and my best mates will hold up a mirror and go, God's grace has been very amazing for you the last few years. You've been through a time No one should have to go through. But you've gotten through it. Here's how you got through well. Now it's time to go after this piece. You see, it's in 1 John where John says, if you confess your sins to one another, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ continue cleanses you from all sin. But he goes on to say, you then have fellowship, not with God, but with one another. It would make sense that we then are connected to God. He goes, then you're connected deeply with one another, and then you can move ahead with God. Folks, when you wade out deeper, you've got to go after this kind of stuff to strengthen your capacity to see how long and high and wide and deep is the love of the Father. But then you end up carrying His presence. You're a reflection of Him. It was mentioned I get to do this doctoral program in New York. It's kind of a unique thing. I've been a uni prof for 29 years. I know I don't look that old. Thank you. But I now, for the last almost 5 years, exclusively run a doctoral program. My first 100 students came from 40 countries or culture groups. It's New York. So I get to work with sort of some of the elite people that God's using around the planet. It's great fun. But that doesn't excite me as much as being here. Because the way God transforms communities is by taking people like you. And you become a reflection of Him so that when people are around you, they go, you remind me of something. You remind me of someone. They can't quite put their finger on it, but they know there's something distinctly different about you, your character, your approach. And they're intrigued by it. And eventually they go, you remind me of Him. Now here's what I love. If you're a young adult woman or a really old bloke, it doesn't matter. You get to carry His presence. And people see the reality of God in someone like you. That's the kingdom, folks. That's the kingdom. And the Spirit of God's going, I kind of want to do that with you. Will you develop this partnership with me? Let's wrap it up. You don't just get out in the deep water, but you stay in the flow. Sensitive to the very presence of what the Father's up to in your life. Another one of these passages comes to us from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 simply says, to guard your heart. Now, remember earlier, the gospel set this up and said, Jesus said in a loud voice. Well, when we get to Proverbs chapter 4, it starts like this. Above all else. Now, whenever the Bible pushes pause and goes, above all else, that means, hey, pay attention to this one. Don't blow this one off. Pause. Go after this one. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It's the same image. The earlier Testament, now Jesus in the newer Testament. This wellspring of life, it's what God has put there to bring this energy, this fire, this flow in your life. He said, guard it. Please guard it. Guard it from hardness. Guard it from bad excuses. From shields and from protection. Guard it from secrets. Let me say it again. Guard it from family secrets. Guard it from being self-protective. Starting in 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing a three-part series north up at True North Church. It used to be called Whitford's Church of Christ, but they decided they were way too sexy for that. So they're now True North Church. So I'm doing a three-part series on how to press on and then press into God and then press through when it gets really hard. They requested it. They said, our people are moving along well until it gets hard and then we don't press through. That's what this text is about. To press through. So here we go. You stay in the flow. It's this fresh spring that brings a softness to you. A contrition. The contrite of heart. The broken of heart. It brings an inner strength to you. So that your heart and soul is connected with that of the Father. So there's this free flow. what's the best of the heart of God comes into you. It fills you up again, overflows into other people. And it's your heart and soul that He will heal. It's very cool. What do we do with this? Come on, you're smart people. You know. You've got to wade out deeper. Get into the flow of what God's Spirit is up to in your life. And then stay there. To actually become river dwellers. And when you do, the three words that will permeate your life more than any other. You'll have a sense of His presence. The overwhelming sense of the peace of God will be yours. And there will be a sense of personal and spiritual power you've never had. And you'll stand out from the rest. I remember so clearly the first time I gave a talk very similar to this. It was 30 and a half years ago. Some of you are going, dude, you're old. Yep. The young minister, west side of Chicago. It was a fun church. Just had baptism. We were having baptisms quite often. The pattern of our church seemed to be people were coming to faith in Christ with great regularity. Good stories of life change. It was great fun. This bloke comes up to me and he goes, Martin, I'd love to bring some of my friends to church. I'm just not sure they'll fit in here. And I said, tell me why not? And he said, you know, we're a little bit of a more professional congregation. And he said, my friends are construction workers. And I said, well, you're a laborer. You're a construction worker. He goes, yeah, but I'm a high-class construction worker. And he said, my mates are like low-life construction workers. I said, what are we talking here? And he goes, they're really bad. I said, well, the gospel's for anybody. Our church is pretty good at welcoming people. Bring them. And I said, what are they into? And he goes, they travel with. They're actually groupies, roadies with the Grateful Dead. And I went, okay. So I worked my way through the congregation and found some old Grateful Dead albums and listened. So I thought, I'll have some good tunes and lyrics when these people come. So he called one Saturday and he goes, they're coming tomorrow. And sure enough, they showed up at church and they looked, acted, and smelled different than everyone else there. It was so, so obvious. They were different than the rest of our people. And thankfully so. And they came in different vehicles too. One guy's truck had to be this high off the ground. You had to have a step ladder to get in and out. And the women who came with them, they were a story all their own. And there was another couple came in an old Volkswagen bus. Like, it was like hippie era. They'd never moved on. And then there was a couple came in on a Harley. Biker boy and the appropriate descriptor of her as well. And they were sitting back there. They were apparently quite intrigued with church. They seemed to laugh a lot. They liked my message, especially when I quoted the Grateful Dead. They were high-fiving and elbowing each other. They were having a great time. Immediately after I finished, I had several elders say, Martin, what are you doing quoting the Grateful Dead? He goes, what will some of our people think? And I said, they don't know the Grateful Dead. They assume when I mention the Grateful Dead, I'm talking about the rapture. They have no idea. So they're clueless about that. Well, one by one, they came out, and I was standing at the door, and they all had some unique greeting for me. And they absolutely loved this. Most of them had tear-filled eyes, which I was quite surprised at. And then Biker Boy came. And Biker Boy was just about exactly 5 feet high and probably exactly 5 feet wide. Just a block of a man, balding, straggly hair, beard graying, in his 50s. And he stopped to talk to me. And the woman with him was scared to death. You could see it. And he looked at me, and he did something that's not normative. He grabbed me by the shoulders, and he shook me. Now, I preach a lot of places for a long time. Not that many people shake me. You're welcome to at the end if you'd like. I like to be shaken. It works. But he shook me with tears coming down his face. Here's what he said. Martin, I've been to the river. It was a long time ago. He said, 25 years ago, I lost my business. I began to drink too much. He said, I ended up losing my family. I lost my life. He said, but today, found my way back to the river. And he said, I am putting my ass in that river and I'm never getting out. The woman with him looked like she had seen a ghost. It was like, I don't know this guy. I didn't know there was a river. Can I say this to you? May his words become your life. Folks, get in that river. Put yourself there and never get out. There's no better way to go than life in the river. I promise. Now, here's what we're going to do as we close the service. This is not a kind of message you listen to and go home and say, I didn't like the big American. It's not whether you like it or not. It's what are you going to do with what you've heard. So, in the next 30 seconds, it's not for all of you, but there's going to be just a few of you. The Spirit of God right now is saying to you, it's time for you to get in the river. And when you do, there's always something to leave behind, one or two things. And there's always something to take, a gift from the Father. So in the next 15 seconds, just think about it. There's going to be a few of you who are going to stand. And we're going to do a very directed prayer of leaving a couple things behind and taking something with you. Take the next couple moments. And then for those of you that you know it's your day to get in the river, you're going to stand in just a couple seconds. It's time. It's time for you to get in the river. Stand where you are. We're going to pray a couple things out of you and a couple things into you. Come on. Come on, let's get your hands free. You're asking the Spirit of God to do something. Don't go like this. Come on. Come on. Oh, God, I love how you work. For those who are courageous enough to stand, some of them are going, I'm not courageous. I'm actually quite fearful. And that's okay. But they know that you know what comes next for them. And so they're putting all fears, they're putting all excuses, all old patterns aside and going, today, I am aligning my life with the very heart of the Father. And I want to get rid of those things that block the flow. Old patterns, a couple of sins. You know what they are. Fear, put your finger on the ones that from your perspective make it difficult to navigate the flow of the river. The things that are just annoying to them, tell them they're annoying and tell them to take care of it. But those things that are crucial for your flow, put your finger on it so it's obvious that there's a couple things to leave behind. Make it so clear they can't miss it. And then give them a willing spirit to follow through with that. And then, in a way that you do so well, in some ways you alone can do it. Well, they just have this absolute sense that the hand of God is coming upon them. And whether it's in this moment or tonight before they go to sleep, will you speak their name in a way that they hear it? Have this sense that this is an encounter with the living God. And that you are going to put a deposit into their account that's different than what's been in there before. And that there's going to be a strength and a hope and a courage that's never been present in their life before. It'll be the empowerment of your spirit. Let them enjoy it. Walk in it. Wade out deeper. Carry your very presence. And whether people say it to them or only say it about them, may they have the sense that they are carrying the very presence of the Father into the heart of God. So come on. This is a divine partnership. Your Holy Spirit, their human spirit, combined together to produce this amazing thing called faith. Can there become a movement in this church, Lord? A movement of river dwellers? Who consistently see the work of God here. May it happen In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
Thanks, Martin. God bless you. God has spoken this morning in some way, shape or form to you. And there may be some other things that you want to actually have people pray into. We'll have a group of people here that would love to pray for you, to pray into anything that you're wanting prayer in. And Martin will be up here as well, so if you want to chat more with him about aspects of what he said that God spoke to you about, then please feel free to come forward. If you are new with us this morning, then we have a new friends area in our cafe, which we'd love you to feel free to head to. You get a cup of coffee and good food and good friendships with people. So feel free just to head over there. As you came in, there's a community life that you received. There's more information in there about what happens, but you read that as you wish. But have a great week, and may you continue to dwell in the river of God. Okay? God bless you.